holding the top of Hey Amr Aleph, the third line. We started a discussion. Now, our Mishnah had told us that our Mishnah had started talking about Yodis Nedarim, or Yad being a partial declaration. So the full declaration of a neder would be that a person says that this object is also to me like a korban. According to the Ran at the beginning of the Masecht, actually, you don't, strictly speaking, need to add the word like a korban, but you do at least have to mention the word also. Here, though, in the Mishnah, he hadn't even mentioned the word also. He said, Mudrani Mimcha, for example. He said, I'm under a neder from you. Or Mufshani Mimcha, or the various other explanation, or the various other expressions. And then we also had that he said, Shani, and then we also, the Mishnah had continued with more examples, Shani Oichaloch or Shani Toyaloch, that I would have eaten of yours, or that I would have tasted of yours. Which, by the way, we touched on the point yesterday. The Ran made the point that isn't Shani Oichol or Shani Toyim, can't that be understood as a positive, saying that I will eat from you or I will taste from you? So the Ran had said that in that case, he wouldn't have used the word ani, he would have just said Oichaloch or Loi Oichaloch. Tosfos further in the Sugya addresses that point, and they say somewhat differently. The fact that you have a shin at the beginning, where the shin implies that, it shows that it's a partial statement. That itself, the shin at the beginning, shows that it's a partial statement. She'ani, we're meant to supply something that's missing before that, and that would be, for example, a word koinam or some similar word. So that's a yad for a neder, and therefore he's also to have hana from the other guy. So now what we said was that Shmuel says that if he just says Mudrani Mimcha without saying anything else, that would actually make it, or Mudrani Hemach, which is the expression that he used in the Gemara, Mimcha and Hemach are both the same thing. They mean from you. Then we said, we understood Shmuel to mean that they're actually going to be also bi-directionally. Reuven will be also to have Anah from Shimon and Shimon from Reuven. Because how does that work? How does saying Mudrani Hemach make a bi-directional thing? So the Ran says, because when he says Mudrani Hemach, the implication is he's saying, I and my Nechasim are also to have Hana from you and from your Nechasim. Now, Nechasim themselves can't have Hana, so therefore necessarily it has to be when he says Mudrani, and it's including his Nechasim, what does that mean? His Nechasim can't have Hana from the other guy. By the same token, then it has to mean that the other guy's Nechasim are also to him. The Rosh said somewhat differently, that just the word Mudrani Mimcha implies that I have a neder not to have Hana from you, and I'm also implicitly with that making a neder that you won't have Hana from me. So we said that Shmuel is saying that expression, Mudrani Mimcha, all by itself, will create a bi-directional neder. And we brought in that connection what Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina says, exactly that, Mudrani Hemach Shnein Asurim. So Shmuel would be holding like Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, that if a person says Mudrani Hemach, or at this point we're assuming that that's the same as Mudrani Mimcha of our Mishnah, Mimcha and Hemach are just two ways of saying of you or of yours, then they're both going to be aser. And Shmuel had said, on the other hand, if he wants to aser only one directionally, he wants to say that he would be aser to have hana from the other guy, but not the other way around, then he would use one of the expressions from the beginning, one of the first three expressions in the Mishnah, Mudrani Mimcha, paired up with one of the next two expressions, such as Shaloi Oichaloch, such as Sha'ani Oichaloch. Okay, so now let's continue that discussion and work out whether that fits with our Mishnah or whether that fits with other Mishnahs. Tnan, we learn later on in our Masechta, Hareini Alecha Cheirem. Suppose that one person says to the other, I am Cheirem upon you, then Hamuder Oser, then the one who was the subject of the neder is also to have Hana. So Hareini Alecha Cheirem would mean, so Reuven says Hareini Alecha Cheirem. The result is that Shimon is now also to have Anah from Reuven. But the implication is that Reuven is not also to have Anah from Shimon. Now, there's no Shani Oichaloch over here. We're assuming that Cherem, there's no reason to distinguish between Cherem and any other Lashon of Isser. We mentioned, in fact, at the beginning of the Masechta, that when our Mishnah said, Kol Kinuyin Nedarim Nedarim, Kenedarim, Vacharomis, Kacharomis, we said there, the Rosh in fact explains that Cherem is just an expression of, or actually the Ran had said rather, that Cherem is just another Loshen of Isu that he could conceivably use, even though it's true, strictly speaking, Cherem means something else, but it can be used as a synonym for Osir as well. So we're saying it's only one directional, according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, and now the way we're understanding Shmuel as well, it ought to be bidirectional. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that Mimcha or Hemach and Olecha are all amount to the same thing. So the Gemara says, okay, no, you could say Kugunda Parish for Atalai. You could say if he specifies and says that you are that also and you are Cherem to me. Kugunda Parish for Atalai. We could understand that what it means is that when is it only one directional, only if he specifies. Only if he specifies and says that you are the at olai loy, he says you are not also to me.
How can one person impose his will on the other, not the
because
other?
Saying that his own nechassim, because he's saying it's his own nechassim. He has the right to restrict the use of his nechassim to somebody else. You're right. He wouldn't be able to say, for example, Reuven cannot possibly say to Shimon, for example, Levi's nechassim are also to you. Obviously, that wouldn't work because Reuven has no right over that. But here, if it's either Reuven restricting himself from Shimon's nechassim, or he's saying to Shimon, you are restricted from my nechassim, as long as he has some kind of ownership over here, either of himself or of his nechassim, then he has the ability to do that. So that was the question. We said, Hareini Alecha Cherem, it's one, and the answer, and not the other, and the answer is, Kibben to Parish Va'at Olai Loi. The answer would be that specifically when he specifies and says, I am Cherem to you, but you are not Cherem to me. So then the Mishnah would be telling us that it's one directional. But according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, in fact, if he hadn't added those words, then yeah, it would be bidirectional. Okay, what about the next part of the Mishnah? At olai cherem, if he says the other way around, you are cherem to me, hanoder also av amudor loy, then it's the other way around. Reuven now, who said the neder, cannot have hanor from Shimon, but Shimon can have from Reuven. Av amudor loy, so Shimon is not also from Reuven. And again, the answer would be, kugunda parish v'anor aloch loy. Okay, so the answer again would be that he doesn't just say atolai cherem, he adds the words that I am not cherem to you. So it's fine, still no contradiction on Shmuel and on Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina. But then the question is, avol stam amai? So what are you telling me? In both of these cases, if he just said stam, if he didn't say anything about the atolai or ano aloch, if he didn't say that, mai, what are you going to say? Shneim asurim, that both of them are also to each other, because he said hareini alecha cherem, or Harei Atalai Cherem, without saying anything else, then according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina's rule and according to Shmuel's rule, it would mean that it's bidirectional. Hamid Katoni Sefer, but we have the Sefer of that, we have the Sefer of that same Mishnah that continues that if he said both, if he said Hareini Alecha V'Atalai, if he explicitly says, I am Osir, I am Cherem to you, and you are Cherem to me, Shnein Asurin, then both of them are Osir. So we see clearly that when are they both also to each other? Only if he actually explicitly said it out. So it can't be. So hostoma, implying that if he didn't explicitly say it out, who also v'chaveri mutter? Then only he is also, but the other guy is mutter, which flatly contradicts what Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina is saying. At this point, again, we're assuming that Alecha and Hemach are the same thing. And so the same way if he says, the Mishnah is clearly saying that if he says Hareini Alecha Cherem, so only if he were to also say V'at Olai Cherem, only then would it be bidirectional. But if not, then it's only one directional. And Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina is saying the other way around. He's saying that just saying Modrani Hemach is enough to make it also bidirectional, each one being also to the other. the Ran teaches out. In other words, we said that Modrani Hemach or Mimach, as it said in the Mishnah, means, in other words, that it includes your that includes that the word Ani The word mudrani includes my nechassim. The word mimach includes you and your nechassim. So by the same token, at hare at alai cherem ought to include means myself and my nechassim. And then again, it's going to mean, but according to Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, that's what it means. It's bi-directional, but the Mishnah seems to be saying that not. So Hamid Katani Sefer Harini Alecha Ba'atalai Shnein Asurin Hodeinu Deshnein Asurin. Only in that case would we say both of them are also, when he explicitly spelled it out. Hostama, but if he just said Harini Alecha Cherim, who also Vachaverim Mutter, he would be also to have Anah from the other guy, but the other guy would be Mutter to have Anah from him. So clearly not like what Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is saying. Ela Hochi Itmar. So rather, you're right. We have to correct what we quoted in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina and say that he said a little different. What he said was, Ela Hochi Itmar, the Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Mudu Ani Loch, Shnei Anasurin, Mudrani Hemoch, Hu Osev Achaverim Mutter. There would be a difference between whether he uses the word Loch or whether he uses the word Hemoch. Till now, we were assuming that it's all the same thing. But now we're going to understand that the word loch and the word hemach mean two different things. So loch implies, in other words, that it can have two meanings. The word loch can mean to you, and it can also mean of yours, the Ran points out. In fact, the Gilui Nashastra about Kiva Eger points out, we have such terminology in a Pasuk as well, where it uses the word loch, and it means what belongs to you. So the word loch, in other words, itself has a double meaning. So therefore, when he says mudr ani loch, then we understand it means two things. It means I am mudr not to have hana from what is loch, from what belongs to you, and it also means that my nechassim are also to you. So therefore, it winds up being bidirectional. That's what Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina is saying. On the other hand, mudrani hemach, but if he says, I am making a neder from you, hemach means from you, then who also v'chaveri mutter, then we would say that only he's also and the other one is mutter. So now there's no contradiction from the Mishnah later on in the Masechta, where it says, hareini alecha cherem, because alecha is not lecha. Olecha clearly means on you, so therefore it's only creating something in one direction. But Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina's chiddush is that when he uses the word loch, then that itself means both directions. So now the Ran explains that at this point in the Gemara, we're assuming that Shmuel wouldn't necessarily agree with that. After all, Shmuel would point out in our Mishnah, we had a list of five things, and then we said only one osur at the end of it. So yesterday we pointed out, we had Brisus that listed three of them and said osur, and then listed the other two and said osur, and we used that to ask on Shmuel, which is why we corrected Shmuel's statement to say that if he says Mudrani Hemach by itself, then they're both osur. Now, at this point, we would say that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina and Shmuel, in fact, are disagreeing. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina would distinguish between mudrani loch and mudrani hemach, and Shmuel would not necessarily make that distinction. He would say that whether he says hemach or whether he says loch, we would say that either way it's also in both directions. Only if he says Shani Oichel, then it's clear that he means only that he's meaning to Asur himself, only to the other one. So fine. So we've corrected Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, such that the Mishnah later on doesn't contradict him. But now let's go back at Nap. So now the question is Bahamas Nisin to Katani Hemach. So now let's return to our Mishnah, where our Mishnah had said Hemach, because our Mishnah had mentioned, so our Mishnah had mentioned five expressions, of which the first three of them use the word Mimach, which is the same as Hemach. That's just a difference. That's just a dialect difference where some people say Mimach and some say Hemach, but it means the same thing, from you. So our Mishnah uses the word Hemach. And we explained, according to Shmuel, that who's saying with any of the expressions, if he uses any of the expressions, mudrani mimcha, mufushani mimcha, etc., then he becomes osir in everything and in meaning bidirectionally, unless he says shani toyim lach or shani oichalach, who do osir v'chaverim mutter. So what did we say? That Shmuel was saying that Shmuel said that only when he adds the words shani toyim lach or shani oichalach, only then is he making a one-directional isser where he's also and the other guy is mutter. But the implication is the way that we understood the braisa, the way we understood the Mishnah, rather, according to Shmuel. The way we understood the Mishnah according to Shmuel is that only that by saying mudrani mimach all by itself is enough to make him also bidirectionally. Now we're saying, according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, that saying mudrani hemach or mudrani mimach is only enough to make it one directional. And only according to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, only if you'd use the word loch, then we would say that's different. So the question is, now that we understood, if we're understanding the Mishnah according to Shmuel, then how are we making that fit with what Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina is saying? Which in other words, the Ran says that given that, so the Ran understands the question, given that according to Shmuel, in the end, there's no difference between saying Hemach or saying Loch, then Shmuel should have specified that. According to him, there's no difference. According to Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, there's a difference. But now, how are we understanding, how are we making Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina's opinion fit with the Mishnah? So there's two ways of understanding the question, essentially. The question can be on Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, or the question can be on Shmuel. How is Shmuel going to understand the Mishnah? Why is Shmuel saying that there's no difference between Hemach and Loch? So Ela Me'ikra de Shmuel Hochi Itmar. So rather, we have to answer that we're going to yet again correct what Shmuel had said. We started with Shmuel saying that if he says mudrani mimach, then unless we started by saying that Shmuel had said that mudrani mimach wouldn't be effective at all unless he pairs it up with shani oichalach or shani toyimach. We shot that down. We slugged that up because it contradicts braisis. So then we reinterpreted what Shmuel was saying to say the other way around. Mudrani hemach is stronger, and all by itself it would make something bidirectional. And only if he says it together with shani oichalach, only then would it be one directional. Now we're going to say rather that to begin with, what Shmuel was saying was as follows: Taima de omer shani oichalach vani shani toyim lach hu de ein osu hu de ein hu osu elabachila. So what we're going to say is rather what Shmuel is saying is if he adds the words shani oichalach and shani toyimach, then the din is he'll be also only to eat. Ho mudrani mimach, but if he just says the word mudrani mimach without anything else, also afila bahana, then it is going to be effective, and in fact it's going to make him also bahana. So far we've had three different versions to understand what Shmuel is saying. One is that mudrani mimach by itself wouldn't accomplish anything. The second one was that mudrani mimach by itself would accomplish bidirectionally. And now we're saying a third way of understanding Shmuel is that he's saying that mudrani mimach by itself would mean that he's also in any kind of hana. Mudrani mimach shani oichalach means that he's also only to eat from the other guy's food. So now that doesn't contradict anything else that we said so far. And now Rabbi Yossi Reb Chanina, who after all is an Amora, anyway, he can disagree with Shmuel, but he would say in light of the Mishnah later on in the Masechta, that saying Mudrani Mimach, that he would distinguish between Mudrani Mimach and Mudrani Loch, where he would say that if he says Loch, then he would say that Loch means that it's bidirectional, Mimach or Hemach means that it's only one directional. Shmuel would be saying, meanwhile, a different thing altogether. He would be saying that mudrani mimach by itself creates an isser hana, and mudrani mimach shani she'ani oichalach creates only an isser of eating. So in other words, that now we're going to get into soon in the Gemara the matter that we touched on yesterday of yadayim she'enem mechichas. We're going to discuss it in more detail beginning on Amud Beis, that on the face of it, saying mudrani mimach, does that all by itself, is that strong enough Is that clear enough by itself to say that it means I am making a neder that I won't have any hanah from you? Maybe it means something far weaker from that, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon. So the implication is, it sounds like at this point, Shmuel is saying that even though it's yadayim she'en and mechichas, even though it's a yad where we can't necessarily say 100% for sure that that is what he meant, to actually bar himself from any kind of hanah with the other guy, nevertheless, we would say that that's what it means. That would be called yadayim she'en mechichas, having in yadayim, we would call such a thing a yad, and therefore that itself would be enough to asur him b'hanah. So we'd understand Shmuel that way. So the question still is then, e hachi, lema Shmuel hachi. Well, in that case, then still Shmuel's wording is not exact. What did Shmuel say? V'chulon ad sheyomar, until he says shani oichalach shani toyim lach, that unless he says also shani oichalach or shani toyim lach, then it doesn't have the full effect. Now we're saying the other way around, that Shmuel is saying it has more of an effect if he doesn't say those words. So lema Shmuel hachi. So Shmuel should be saying as follows: v'im loy omer ela shani oichalach v'shani toyimach ein oser ela ba'achila. So he should be saying, on the contrary, if he did not say the words shani oichalach or shani toyimach, if he said only those words, then he's also only to eat. Or the different girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara is like that. That if he only says shani oichalach v'shani toyimach, he's only also ela ba'achila. The Rosh brings that girsa, but he doesn't like it, and instead he brings that the correct girsa is, and Agoyis Habach brings something similar, that if he does not say shani oichalach or shani toyimach, he would actually be also even bahano. Shmuel should spell that out clearly. The Ran also brings that gusa. So what are we saying? When he says ad sheyomar, he says until he says. So the implication is, if he doesn't say those words, then nothing happens. On the contrary, Shmuel is telling us now, the way we understand, the third way we're saying of understanding Shmuel, is that if he doesn't say those words, then it creates an even stronger issue. So instead, he should clearly say if he does not say shani oichalach shani toyimach, then he will be also in everything. The word ad sheyomar suggests that you don't have a valid declaration until you say these words. But here we're saying the other way around. Not only he has a valid declaration without those words, but it's even stronger without them. In fact, the Ran says we could have just as well asked this question earlier in the sugya, but before we had better questions. Now, at this point, this is the only question we have. Fine, so far, then what Shmuel is saying doesn't contradict any braisis, doesn't contradict the implication of our Mishnah, but it's still an odd way for him to phrase it. So ela hochi itmar. So rather, we have to say, here is a fourth way of understanding what Shmuel meant. Taima de omer shani oichalach v'shani toyim lachu da'asur. Only when he says the words shani oichalach or shani toyimlach, then he's also to eat from the other person's food. Aval omer mudrani hemach loy mashma de omer osur. But if he just the opposite, if he says mudrani mimach or mudrani hemach, then that does not imply that he's saying that having hanah from the other guy is also at all. So we're kind of going back then. With this, we're kind of going back to the first explanation of Shmuel, which was the original understanding, which was that if he just said mudrani mimach, then that's not enough to create an isser. But now we're going to explain why. Before we just said that if he says that, it's not a neder unless he says shani oichalach, and we didn't clarify why, and therefore we brought braisos that seemed to contradict it. Now we're going to explain that Shmuel has a reason behind that, why he would say that. And that reason is not contradicted by the braisos, because in fact, as we're going to discuss soon, you actually have a machlokas tanoim related to this. Namely, now we're going to get into this matter of yadayim mechichas or she'enan mechichas. So again, we said you have the concept of a yad, that you can make a partial declaration of a neder, and we're saying that that's valid. But within yadayim, we can distinguish between yadayim mechichas, where it's clear any reasonable person would understand his partial declaration and would fill in the rest. Then you have Yadayim She'ein and Mechichos. You have where the Yad is not so, it's not so obvious that you can interpret it that way. It's quite logical to understand it a different way. So now we would say that the word Mudrani Hemach is ambiguous. So it could be understood in either of two ways. So now we're going to say that Shmuel would hold Yodayim She'en Mechichas are not considered a Yad, and that would include the case where he says Mudrani Mimach, because that's not enough to be Yodayim Mechichas, because there's more than one way of reasonably explaining those words. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Aval Omer Mudrani Hemach, if he just says the words Mudrani Hemach, Loi Mashma De Omer Osir. In and of itself, those words are not mashma that he's saying that anything of Hana of the other guy is osir. My timer. Why is that? Because we could just as well understand mudrani mimach means loy mishteina bahadach. When he says mudrani mimach, doesn't necessarily mean I won't have Hana from you. It could mean I won't talk to you. So I'll have any other kind of Hana from you. I just won't talk to you. Mashma. That could just as well mean that. Mufushani mimach. When he says the second expression in the Mishnah, Mufushani Mimach, I am separated from you, could just as well mean, Delo Yabid Neimach Maso Matan Mashna. It could imply I won't do business with you. And Meruchak Mimach, when he uses the third expression in the Mishnah, I am distanced from you, it could mean, Delo Ka'im Nebedalat Amasti Loch Mashna. It could be interpreted to mean that I won't stand within your four Amas. So none of those three expressions are Yad Mechiach. None of those can we unambiguously say that he means he wants to aser Hana from the other guy to himself. It could just as well mean that he means one of those three things. So that would be what Shmuel is saying. If he says Mudrani Mimach, Shaloi Oichaloch, or Shani Oichaloch, rather, that would make it clear that his Mudrani Mimach does not mean I'm asering myself to talk with you, but rather I'm asering myself to have Hana to eat from your food. But if he just says, so then of course it's a Yad Mechiach, even though he didn't say the word Osir, then obviously we can supply the word Osir ourselves. And even the word Koinam or some other equivalent of Korban in order to make a complete declaration. But when he only says Mudrani Mimach, then we don't necessarily have to say that constituted a neder to not have Hana from the other guy at all, because it could equally well be a neder to not talk with him. And the same thing with the other ones. Now you have the interesting question. So that would be what Shmuel is saying. So again, in other words, this fourth explanation of Shmuel, we're going back to the original understanding, which was that saying Mudrani Mimach all by itself is not effective, but the reason for it is, now we're saying the reason it would not be effective is because it's a Yad She'enu Mechiach. Now you get into the interesting question. So what if a person does say that? So suppose now we're saying the person does just say Mudrani Mimach, and we're saying Mudrani Mimach could conceivably mean that I'm asking myself Hana from you, but it could also mean I'm asking myself to talk to you. Well, what would be the din? Is he now allowed to talk to that guy or not? We could say, as far as having Hana, maybe it's ambiguous, but on the face of it, the Gemara is saying it seems fairly unambiguous that it means that he won't talk to the guy. Mudrani Mimach, I'm under a neder to stay away from you. So therefore, that seems to imply he won't talk to him. So in fact, would he be also to talk to him or not?
So sometimes
it can depend. Sometimes it can depend on the context. For example, the Rosh, and then the Rosh discusses over here, and that you can have cases, for example, where the other guy is pleading with him, come eat a meal by me, and he makes a neder. So then it would be more clear from the context that he means to ask for eating by the other guy. We're going to have examples of that later in the Masechta. But right now we're saying, let's say he said it out of the blue. So you have, there are Rishonim, the Rambam and a bunch of other Rishonim hold that in fact he would be also to talk to him. Say Mudrani Mimach, fine, it's not enough to Asur Hana. For that, he would have to say Mudrani Mimach, Sha'ani Oichaloch. But to be also to talk to him, yeah, if he says Mudrani Mimach would be alone, that he's also to talk to him, and it would constitute a neder to that extent. The Ran brings that as one possibility and agrees with it. And then he says that rather the other way around. The Ran brings that as a second possibility, but then he brings the first possibility, which is that no, once we say that Mudrani Mimach is not enough to be a Yad Mechiyach, then actually we would say that it would be completely, that it would be completely mortar. Not only he would be allowed to have Hanah from the guy, because Yadayim She'en Mechichas as far as that, but equally well, we would say it's also Yadayim She'en Mechichas as far as not speaking to him, and therefore the result is he actually would be mutter to speak to him, because we have no way of knowing really whether he meant Hanah or whether he meant speech. For each one, you could call it Yadayim She'en Mechichas, and once we say that, then he would be, so the Ran brings the explanation and agrees with it, that that's what it would mean. He would actually be mutter in both. Then as the second explanation, he brings what the Rambam and some other Rishonim say, that in fact, he would be also to talk with the guy. He would just not be, he just wouldn't be also to have Hanah from it. In any case, the Ran says, the point is, Shmuel is now not contradicted by the Braises before, because the Braises before can be following the opinion that Yadayim She'en Mechichas or Yadayim, which we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, whereas Shmuel follows the opinion that Yadayim She'en Mechichas lo yhavion Yadayim, and therefore fine, the Braises are following one Tana and Shmuel is following a different Tana, and therefore the phrasing of the Braises that said that if he just says Mudrani Mimach Hareza Osir, Oshani Oichaloch, Hareza Osir, fine, that doesn't contradict Shmuel because that's following a different Tanna's opinion. Okay, so now that we've wind up saying, in other words, is that Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina are saying two different things. Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina is distinguishing, Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina would say that Mudrani Hemach is enough to make him Osir, and not only to make him Osir, but to make the other guy Osir as well. Only if he says, Mudrani Hemach, we would say, is enough to make him also to have Hanah from the other guy. Mudrani Loch would be even stronger, and it would mean that both of them are also to each other. That's according to Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina. According to Shmuel, we're saying at this point that just saying Mudrani Mimach is not enough to create an Isur Hanah at all. Maybe it's enough to create an Isur of talking to him, as we're saying here in the Gemara, and as the way that Rambam and others understand the Gemara, but not enough to make it that it would be an Isur Hanah in either direction, let alone both directions. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lema kasava Shmuel Yadayim She'en Mechichas Lehavin Yadayim. Does that mean that Shmuel holds that even though does that mean that Shmuel holds that Yadayim She'en Mechichas are not considered Yadayim? Because that's what we're saying, in effect, that Shmuel is saying, because he said Mudrani Mimach, and that could mean that I won't have Hanah from you, but it could also equally well mean that I won't talk to you. And Shmuel is saying that's not considered a Yad for the Neder of Hanah. So does Shmuel in fact hold that way? And the answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes, Shmuel Mukim Lo Mastisin, Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel will understand that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says just that Yadayim She'en Mechichas are not considered Yadayim, and therefore, so that's what the Mishnah would mean. When he says Mudrani Mimach, then Shmuel is saying Mudrani Mimach by itself is not enough to create a Neder of Hanah, only if he says Mudrani Mimach, Shani Oichaloch, namely that he uses one of the first three expressions and pairs it up with one of the next two expressions, then we would say that he's made a full neder. Then we have Yadayim Mechichos, those two phrases together are enough to create a Yad, that a Yadayim that are Mechichos, and demonstrate that he means by that to aser the himself from eating the other guy's food. Tosfos brings different gersos over here. Is it in fact in particular Tosfos says, do we have the word ein or in the Gemara, which means yes? If we have that word, which is how we have it in front of us in the Gemara, then it would mean that Shmuel in fact holds the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore in fact the Ran says, now what would force Shmuel to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Precisely because He would say the wording of the Mishnah itself implies that it must be following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, because as we said, since the Mishnah uses the word Mudrani Mimach and implies that that itself is not enough to create a neder, because Shmuel understands the Mishnah to be saying not just that we're giving a list of five things, but rather that we're giving a list of three things paired up with either of two things, and therefore that forces Shmuel to say that our Mishnah must be like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore to say that the halacha must be like Rabbi Yehuda in this matter of Yadayim, not only as far as Nedarim, but also, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, as far as other halachas as well. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings up the possibility that maybe the word in doesn't belong in the Gemara. So maybe the Gemara would say that Shmuel would understand, because of the phrasing of the Mishnah, that it has to go like Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe Shmuel himself would disagree with that. And Shmuel, in fact, would be saying that the halacha is like the Chacham. So in effect, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, Rabbi Shmuel would be saying, when it comes to understanding our Mishnah, you have to say like Rabbi Yehuda. And what I was saying before about Mudrani Mimach would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. I myself don't necessarily agree with that, because I would say that we go according to the Chachamim, and Yadayim She'en Mechichas are valid Yadayim. So those are two different ways of understanding Shmuel's Shita. So where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda says anything about Yadayim She'en Mechichas? So we have in a completely different context, the context of Gittin. Ditnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Gittin, Gufay Shoget, the essential formula of a get is the words Harei Atmoteres L'Chaladam. Is the husband is writing in the get, behold, you are mutter to marry anybody else. But now, on the face of it, that is your Yadayim She'en Mechichas, because there's nothing in that phrasing indicating that it's the husband telling her that. There's nothing indicating that it's being accomplished through the shtar, that it's being accomplished through the get, and still the Chachamim say that's good enough. Now, you do have to have a lot of other details in a get. You have to have the names of the husband and wife, you have to have the date, and so forth. But in terms of the essential formula, they're saying that's all you have to write. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not enough. You also have to write the words, V'dein diyevi l'chiminai. This is what shall be from me to you. Sefer Tiruchin, a book, meaning a document, of divorce, the Igeres Shvukin, and a letter of sending away. A triple expression that you use there. Sefer Tiruchin, the Igeres Shvukin, the Get Turin is also you have. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to add those words as well. According to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, Hareyat Moteres L'Chaladam is Yadayim She'en and Mechichas, because again. So all Gemara is focusing on the fact that you have to write the word v'dein. The word v'dein means this. So the implication is the husband is not trying to say, I'm divorcing you verbally, which we know doesn't work la halacha. He's actually using the word v'dein, and this meaning, it's the other way around, sorry. All Gemara is going to be focusing on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write the word minai, which means from me. In other words, without that minai, Rabbi Yehuda would call it Yadayim She'en Mechichas, because from the wording of the get itself, you don't have anything that makes it clear that it's he, Davka, that is giving it to her. Conceivably, it could be from a third party. Now, the Gemara is going to point out later on that you may not need that, because look, I mean, who else is going to be divorcing her if not her husband? But at this point, that's what the Gemara is assuming, is that Rabbi Yehuda is specifically saying this formula, the word minai, in order to make it absolutely clear that it's from me, the husband who is divorcing you, who is giving you this get. The Ran points out that in a different Gemara in Gittin, it explains that actually the machlokas really is about the word v'dein meaning and this, where Rabbi Yehuda is saying, without writing the word this, you could conceivably claim that it means that the husband is saying, I'm divorcing you verbally, and of course that doesn't work, you need a get, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda requires you to write the word v'dein to make it clear that the husband understands that the vehicle for the divorce is this get. So in fact, the Ran says both sugyas complement each other. Here in our sugya, we're focusing on one word in Rabbi Yehuda's formula. There in Gittin, we're focusing on a different word. The Rosh adds also that there's a reason for that, because in our Gemara, we're focusing on, in our Mishnah, we use the expression Shani Oichal Loch, or Shani Toyim Loch, where you're using the second person pronoun. So therefore, it makes sense to pair that up with minai, with the expression from me, where also you're using a pronoun to show clearly who's giving the get and who's receiving it. As opposed to v'dein, really is a side thing. But it's true, the Rosh and the Ran are saying that both Gemaras would agree that putting the two Gemaras together, we have Rabbi Yehuda requires both parts of his formula, the word v'dein and the word minai. So the point is, Rabbi Yehuda says you need Yadayim Mechichas. Without having the words v'dein, without having the word minai, or without having the word v'dein, or really both of them, then you don't have an unambiguous statement that it's he, the husband, who is giving the wife a get, and that it's the get that's accomplishing the divorce, rather than something else. So therefore, we see Rabbi Yehuda holds you need your daim mechichas. Well, then Shmuel holds our Mishnah also is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who requires your daim mechichas. So to say all by himself, mudrani nimach is not your daim mechichas because, like we said at the bottom of the previous amud, it could just as well mean that I won't talk to you. So now the question is, so what forces Shmuel anyway to say that our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda? Shmuel could have just as well explained our Mishnah like the Chachamim, that it doesn't matter even that Yodayim are in Mechichas, and Afagab the En Yodayim Mechichas. So in other words, maybe the Mishnah is in fact telling us a single list of five items, that just, he says, Mudrani Mimach, all by itself, is enough to create an Eder. Mufashani Mimach, all by itself, is enough to create an Eder. I, Mudrani Mimach, could conceivably also mean that he won't talk to him. The Chacham say that doesn't matter. It may be Yodayim Shein Mechichas, but it's strong enough to be Yodayim. It is a perfectly reasonable explanation to say that Mudrani Mimach means I am making a neder, I won't have hana from you. And the Chachamim would understand that way, that constitutes a yad. The same way as by a get, they say saying Hareyat Muteres L'chol Adam in the get is good enough without writing Rabbi Yehuda's formula. So what forces Shmuel to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore to have to understand that our Mishnah is giving us two separate lists where you have to pair up one from one list with one from the other list? Which again, according to the Ran, then it comes out, and according to one possibility in Tosfos, it comes out that not only Shmuel is forced to explain the Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, but that Shmuel himself ends up holding like Rabbi Yehuda because of that, because he understands our Mishnah to be like Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, that forces him to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda as far as Yodayim Shein Mechichas. And according to the other explanation in Tosfos, fine, we're not saying that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but what forces him to even say that our Mishnah should go like Rabbi Yehuda, especially if he himself holds like the Chacham? And the answer is Amar Rava Masnisin Kshisei. Rava answers because the Mishnah, Shmuel found the wording of the Mishnah difficult, and therefore that forced him to explain it like Rabbi Yehuda. Amai Toni Shani Oicha Loch Shani Toim Loch. Why does the Mishnah in the second part of the list, why does it use the word Loch? Why does it have to say that I'm eating that I would have eaten of yours, or that I would have tasted of yours? Listen, Shani Oicha Shani Toim. It would have been enough once he says Mudrani Mimach, then it would be good enough if he adds the words that I would eat or that I would taste. So he said Mudrani Mimach already. If we said that each one of them is valid enough by itself, then so then it could have just as well. It could have just as well said Shani Oichol or Shani Toy. And here's where Tosfos points out. Now, what do you mean? Shani Oichol, Shani Toyim. How on earth is that a yad at all? Couldn't that just as well mean that I will eat of yours? And here's where Tosfos says, because you have the shin at the beginning, we're obviously understanding that there's some unexpressed part at the beginning of the statement that he's leaving out, such as the word koinam. So therefore, it amounts to that he said, koinam, Shani Oichol, what I would have eaten is koinam, and therefore that... And here's where also that we're talking about, let's say, so we could say that, we could say, for example, that we're talking about the other guy was pleading with him to eat by him, and he says, no, Shani Oichol. So that would be enough to create a neder under those circumstances. The fact that the Mishnah didn't say that, the fact that the Mishnah added the word loch, Shmamina Ba'inin Yodai Mechichas, therefore that shows that you need, it's not enough to say Shani Oichol, even though under the circumstances it seems that it means that he's trying to assert himself to eat the other guy's food. Nevertheless, you still need something more than that. You need your Yodai Mechichas, and that can be accomplished by saying Shani Oichol Loch. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that once he adds the word Loch, then it's your Yodai Mechichas, and therefore that would be enough. But that forced Shmuel to say, again, that just saying Mudrani Mimach is not enough by itself, because that itself could just mean that he's not going to talk with him, and therefore he needs to pair it up with Shani Oichaloch in order to clearly create a neder. So that explains why Shmuel understood the Mishnah the way he did. The Ran also mentions over here that the fact is we're going to start now discussing more of this matter of Yodayim She'en Mechichas as it applies to a get. And we're going to have a svara of of Abaya, a svara of Rava, rather, that by a get there's less reason to require Yadayim Mechichas, because who else is going to be divorcing her if not her husband? Shmuel may agree with that concept, says the Ran, and therefore Shmuel does in fact say that there doesn't, when it comes to Gittin, he in fact paskins like the Chachamim, that you only need Hareat Materis Lachodam, that technically you don't need Vedain Diabi Lachiminai, although in fact, of course, it's universally written in Gittin anyway. And that would be because Shmuel might hold, even though he does hold that you need Yadayim Mechichas, but he would say by a get is different because who else could be divorcing her if not her husband? And then the Ran goes and mentions another possibility. Maybe he does hold like Rabbi Hoda after all. So that's it. So it seems that our Mishnah is following the opinion that Yodayim she'en mechichas are not Yodayim, and that is what forced Shmuel to say that would, since that's the opinion of Rabbi Hoda, that forces him to say that the Mishnah is in fact like Rabbi Hoda, and then deriving from that, then we would say the same way as our Mishnah is implying that just saying Shani Oichel is not enough, it needs to say Shani Oichel Loch, the same way saying Mudrani Mimoch is not enough, he would have to add something else to make it clear that he's not just asking himself to talk with the other guy. Okay, so now a further discussion on this topic, Itmar. We have a discussion of Amiroyim on this topic. Yodayim she'en mechichas, Abaya oma havin yodayim, v'rova oma loy havin yodayim. Abaya says that Yodayim she'en mechichas are valid yodayim, and Rava says not, which again seems to be relevant, not only as far as Nedarim, but so far we're saying as far as Gittin as well. Later on Vav Amud Beis, we're also going to start discussing the question of Yodais as far as other areas of Halacha as well, whether a Yad is enough in other areas of Halacha as well. Tosfos, by the way, discusses that even within Yodayim She'en Mechichas themselves, there can be, how Mechiach are they? There can be a very weak Yodayim, and then there can be a stronger one where there's more reason to say that it means a certain thing, but nevertheless, you equally well have a different way of understanding it. So even within Yodayim She'en Mechichas themselves, you can have very weak ones, and then you can have Abaya. When he says having Yodayim, we'd be talking about the stronger kind of Yodayim She'en Mechichas. So Tosfos gives an example. Let's say, for example, you have a case in Kiddushin where a man says to a woman, "Hareat Mekudeshes." Is that enough? Can we supply the words "li" and say that it means that it's a valid Kiddushin? So Tosfos points out that actually would be Yadayim She'en Mechichas, and it's gruis. It's a weak kind of Yadayim She'en Mechichas because it's equally well possible that he's saying you're Mekudesh not to me but to somebody else, to whoever sent me. After all, a man can send a shliach to be Makadish a woman for him. So therefore, saying Hareat Mekudeshes by itself would be considered Yadayim She'en Mechichas of a very weak kind. Then on the other hand, you have, let's say, for example, we're talking about over here, Hareat Meteres L'Chodam, on the face of it is a much stronger Yadayim She'en Mechichas, because again, who else is he going to be saying it to if not to his wife? So now, on the face of it, it sounds like Abaya and Rava are arguing in the same machlokas with Yehuda and the Chachamim. We're going to discuss that in a few lines in the Gemara and say that it's not necessarily so. But first, Omar Rava, Rav Idi Asbarali, Rava says, Rav Idi explained to me, why is it that Yadayim She'en Mechichas, when it comes to Nedarim, would not work? Oh, because Omar Kra, Nazir Lahazir Lashem. The Pasuk uses the expression that a person declares Nazirus to make, the person becomes a Nazir to make a Nazirus to Hashem. Makish Yodis Nazirus, the Nazirus. So besides the Hekish that we talked about the other day between Nedarim and Nazirus, within Nazirus itself, you have a Hekish between the Yodis of Nazirus and Nazirus themselves. Ma Nazirus Bahafla, Af Yodis Nazirus Bahafla. And the Hekish would teach us like this. Nazirus itself has to be bahafla, meaning it has to be clearly expressed. I mean, not so much clearly expressed, but clearly known. So the Ran brings from a Mishnah in Nazir. Suppose you have a case, a person sees somebody coming in the distance. And he says, if that guy, he's talking with his friend, let's say, he's saying, I'll make you a bet. If that guy is a Nazir, then I myself will be a Nazir as well. Now, what happens? The guy comes closer, and eventually they see, let's say, that he is a Nazir. Reb Tarfon would say that the one who said that does not become a Nazir, because at the moment when he said, if that guy's a Nazir, I'll be a Nazir, there was that if in there. He didn't know that that guy is a Nazir. Therefore, that's not called haflah, that's not called explicitly stating. So now the Chachamim disagree with Reb Tarfon on that. But so far, what we're saying is, according to Reb Tarfon, what we would be saying is the Nezirus itself, when he's making a neder of Nezirus, it means that he has to clearly know the circumstances, not like in that case where the guy is still far away and he doesn't know yet whether he's a Nazir. So now, by the same token, we would say that a yad has to have a different kind of clarity, namely that the yad has to be yadayim mechichos, and it can't be that it's an ambiguous statement. And the Ran adds, the Chachamim would disagree with Reb Tarfon. They would say actually that in that case, when he sees the guy from far, then when the guy comes closer and he sees that he's a nazir, then the one who said it will in fact be a nazir. So the Chachamim will say. Now that's what it means, that according to them, you don't even need a hekesh. According to them, just the fact that it says ki yafli would teach us. So according to the Tarifin, what it is ki yafli really teaches us that when you're making a neder of Nezirus, you have to know the circumstances clearly. And the hekesh between that and Nezirus itself teaches us that not only you have to know the circumstances clearly, but also that the expression, the wording that you use to become a nazir has to be clear and unambiguous. According to the Chachamim, you don't need that. You would just say from the word kiyafli, you're learning just that second din, that it has to be clear and unambiguous. It has to be yadayim mechichas, because they would disagree with the concept, where they would disagree with Reb Tarfon on the concept. They would say, even if when you said the declaration, and the declaration itself was clear, you said, I will be a nazir if such and such. The fact that there's that if in there, the Chachamim said, doesn't make a difference. So the point is, therefore, that Yodis Nezirus require haflah, that you need to have a clear, unambiguous statement. So not, for example, that a person is saying a yad, which is not mechiyach, which could equally well be understood some other way. So therefore, Rava says, that is where I'm getting the idea that yodayim she'en mechichas are not yodayim. Well, the Gemara says, Lema b'kloktid Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan k'mifli. Would we have to say that Rava and Abaya are arguing in the same machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? Which we don't like to do that. They know the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. There's no need for them to re-argue the same machlokas. In addition, generally the halacha is going to be like the Chachamim. So then there'd be no reason for Rava to be holding like Rabbi Yehuda, who the halacha is most likely not like. So Ditan, we said before, we learned in the Mishnah in Gittin, Gufish shall get Hareat Materis L'chol Adam, that the essential formula of get is the words Hareat Materis L'chol Adam, Rabbi Yehuda Amr V'dein Diyevi L'chiminai, and Rabbi Yehuda says you also have to say the words, and this get is what's coming from me to you, Sefer Tiruchin, a document of divorce, get Keturin, and a get of setting free, the Geras Shirukin, and a letter of letting go. So you have to have all that, because you have to, again, we said you have to have the word minai, from me, that it's unambiguously from me, and not that it's coming from somebody else, and that it has to be bedain, and this get is the vehicle by which this divorce is being accomplished, not that I'm thinking that I can do it by pair or something. That's what the Gemara is going to mention soon, that who else could be doing it. But still, the Ran explains like this. Obviously, if you stand over there and you see what's going on, obviously it's going to be very obvious that the get is coming from Pliny to his wife. There's no way you can say any other party is involved. But Rabbi Yehuda is requiring that the actual wording of the get itself should imply that. Not just that we have that some side thing that you happen to be there and realize, of course, this guy is her husband. Who else could possibly be giving her a get? Rabbi Yehuda, on the face of it, is requiring that the actual wording itself, even if we weren't there at the time, would unambiguously be that he's giving her this get. And not, let's say, you could explain it, let's say, that you have this document is Reuven giving a document to Rachel, his wife, and meanwhile, simultaneously, Shimon is divorcing his wife, Leah, verbally. You want to not have that ambiguity, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write the words V'dain and Minai. So, on the face of it, Abaya and Rava are arguing in the same argument as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Abaya da'amak Rabbanu and Rava da'amak Rabbi Yehuda. So then why are they repeating the same machloikas? The answer is, Amalach Abaya, not the Amri Afilu Rabbi Yehuda. No, Abaya can tell you actually that, Abaya can tell you that, no, what I'm saying would work even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Ad Kam, like the Amr Rabbi Yehuda, but in Yadayim Mechichas, Ela Gabi Get. You know why Rabbi Yehuda is stricter by a get and requires Yadayim Mechichas to be in Krisos, because a get has to be a get chrisus, that you're cutting off the relationship between the husband and the wife, galeka, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't have something unambiguous, if you have your daim che'en mechichas, conceivably you could understand the words hareat mocheres l'chol adam to mean that he's thinking that he can accomplish it verbally without a get, or that he's saying that it's somebody else telling her hareat mocheres l'chol adam. So then, by a get, that wouldn't work because that violates the principle of crisps. You don't have a clear, unambiguous cut statement that says clearly what he's saying. But who says Rabbi Yehuda would hold anywhere else in any other area of halacha that you need your daim mechichas? Not necessarily would he. Therefore, Abaye is saying, Rabbi Yehuda is going to require your daim mechichas only by a get, because that has to be crisps. But to say that he holds that you need it also by nedarim or by any other area of halacha, not necessarily. So therefore, Abaye's opinion that yadayim shen mechichas, having yadayim, could work according to both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. And the Rava Amar, meanwhile, Rava would say on the contrary, Anod Amri Afilu L'Rabbanon, what I'm saying would work even according to the Chachamim, Ad Kam Laka Amri Rabbanon, Dlebe'in Yadayim Mechichas El Gabi Get. Just the opposite, the Chachamim would say, by a get, there's less reason to require Yadayim Mechichas. De'inon Megarish is Eishas Chaverim. After all, a person can't divorce somebody else's wife. The very fact that he says, Hareat Moteres L'Chol Adam, obviously has to be addressed to his own wife. So therefore, so that itself makes it Mechichas. So in other words, Rava would not hold of the svara that we just said that the Ran had brought, that you need the wording itself to show unambiguously what he means. The context will also show us that it's Yadayim Mechichas, that obviously he's divorcing her because who else would be? But elsewhere, where you could conceivably understand it either way, where would you see that the Chachamim say? So maybe the Chachamim would say that in other cases in Halacha, including in Durim, you do need your Dain Mechichas. So therefore, so it follows that Abaya and Rava's argument is not necessarily the same as Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim's. Each one of their opinions could work within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda or within the opinion of the Chachamim. And we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with analyzing the machlokes. And eventually, we're also going to get into this. We're going to also shortly get into the matter of yadayim in other areas of halacha as well. As far as tzedakah, as far as kiddushin, as far as peya, and so forth. We're going to have a sugya that's going to continue tomorrow and extend to almost to the bottom of Zayin Amud Aleph, dealing with this matter of yadayim in other areas of halacha.